Let all God's children say a great amen.
Amen.
The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth throughout all generations. I was glad when they said unto us, let's go into the house of the Lord. And since we're here, we ought to praise his name. Amen. Since we're here, we ought to lift him up. Since we're here, we ought to magnify him. Because the reality is that there is no God like our God. For when we recognize that our God can move mountains, our God can calm the raging sea. The fact is, our God woke us up this morning, and you wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the Lord. And so we ought to give him praise. I said we ought to give him praise. We ought to give him glory. We ought to give him honor. Because God is good. We thank God for this pastor, this preacher, Pastor Robinson, to all these preachers who share the wonderful blessing of preaching God's word. I see pastors in the audience, to you who make up this congregation, Ebenezer, and all the other churches. We bid you a good day. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, fellowship of kindred minds like unto thee above. God is good, and because he's good, we ought to praise his name. And we also thank God for Mount Sinai. I see our president, Sister Davis, over the GSA, and to all of our ushers and greeters out there, to deacons and deaconess, to brothers and sisters. Thank God. Mount Sinai, please just stand for a moment. Thank God to see your faces on in this place on this day. Amen, amen, amen. You guys must have already planned to be here. Amen. So we thank God to see you guys on this day. To the G ushers and greeters and nurses, you guys are looking good, Ebenezer. Amen. And thank God to all of the ushers and greeters across the room. God is truly deserving of all of our praises. If you will, turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, starting at the 10th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, starting at the 10th verse. The Bible reads, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and no other builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through by fire. Amen to God's word. And I want to talk to us this evening. Be careful how you build. Be careful how you build. On this GSA service, be careful how you build. God is our general contractor. And our general contractor has given us Christians, who's the subcontractors, the right firm foundation to build upon. It was called the little church that stood. It's the St. Paul's Chapel in New York City. The church became well known after the tragedy of 9/11. On 9/11, when the Twin Towers were attacked, most of these large buildings were falling except St. Paul's Chapel. The church was able to stand. During this tragedy, most people learned that much of Manhattan is built on landfills. Much of Manhattan is built upon trash. But St. Paul's Chapel was built in the early 1600s, and it was carefully built on the bedrock when everything else was crumbling and falling. In the midst of tragedy, St. Paul's Chapel was able to be a place of rest, refuge, and recovery because it was built on a strong foundation. And this afternoon, church family, I want to encourage somebody. God is our general contractor. He has given every Christian who's the subcontractors the right foundation to build upon. Yes, this world is crumbling. Yes, church, this world is confused. Yes, this world is falling. But when you're built on a firm foundation, I said when you're built on a firm foundation, you can say now unto him who's able to keep you from falling. Now unto him who can keep you when can't nobody else keep you. And I think I ought to tell somebody, God is keeping me. I said God is keeping you and God is keeping us even right now. Oh, I thank God. I thank God he's my firm foundation. Theologian Martin Lloyd-Jones said that any foundation in life that's not built on Jesus is a doomed to failure. Yeah, all other foundations are passing and temporary. They will whet your appetite. But only temporary. But when Jesus is your foundation, when Jesus is your foundation, you can stand in the test of time. You can stand when everybody else is falling. You can stand on Jesus. Oh, I thank God I can stand on Jesus. I thank God that Jesus is my firm foundation. Jesus Christ is our eternal foundation that can never be shaken. Jesus Christ is our eternal foundation that will never leave his people alone. Jesus Christ is our rock in a weary land. He's a shelter in the time of the storm. That's why we can sing, my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. Oh, church of God, be careful how you build. Paul here in chapter 3 has confronted the Corinthian church about their carnal conditions. Paul started this chapter by saying, brethren, because yes, you're believers, but you're babes in Christ. Paul is saying you're carnal Christians. You're a child of God. You're born again and you're on your way to heaven, but you're traveling third class. Paul is saying, I have to speak to you on a children's church level. He said, I have to speak to you, yes, as infants nursing on some milk. Because you haven't been careful how you build your life. And it's a sad testimony, church family, to be saved for a long time and slide into heaven as a baby in Christ. Oh, in fact, Paul tells the Corinthian church, you're such a baby in Christ. You have tried to build your spiritual lives on people and personalities. For when one says, I'm a Paul, another will say, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Are you not a carnal Christian? Paul is saying, I'm not a celebrity. I'm not a superstar. Paul is saying, I don't need a fan club. Yeah, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? We are only but ministers of the gospel. Don't you put me on a pedestal. Don't you put me on a souped up platform. God allowed me to do a little planning. And God allowed Apollos to do a little watering. But it was our big God who gave the increase. Yeah, and church family, we need to be careful how we build. We need to be careful what we build. And we need to be careful how we build. If you try to build your life on people and personalities, that's going to fall. When we try to build our lives on the fake and the fleeting, that's going to fall. If we try to build our lives on the carnal and the confused, that's going to fall. But the central message of our text is, build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Build your life on Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of God and develop a mature relationship with the Lord, and then you'll build your life on things eternal. On this annual day, let me tell you, we have a charge to keep. Yes, sir, and we have a God to glorify. God is our general contractor. Yeah, we are the subcontractor. God is our general contractor, but we have been called to minister with the subcontractors. And the subcontractor's sole purpose is to get the work done. That's why we're here, GSA. That's why we're here, nurses and greeters. We got to get the work done. We have a charge to keep, and we have a God to glorify. But it's hard to work for God if you're not growing in God. So let's go to Heaven's Hardware Store this afternoon. Let's connect with God, our general contractor, so we can be careful how we build. In our text, there's three biblical blueprints to help us be careful how we build. First, we need the biblical blueprint of maturity. Verse 9 says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Paul here makes a direct distinction of the workers and the ones who's being worked on. For we are God's fellow workers. We who have been commissioned and called by God, we are God's globetrotters of the gospel. We are God's work partners. We are God's laborers in the gospel. Oh, what a privilege to be able to work for the Lord. What a privilege it is to serve the Lord. What a privilege it is to say, I'm going to serve the Lord with gladness. What a privilege it is to say, I'm going to get my hands dirty for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, friends, we do the work of ministry to people. But don't get it twisted. It's for God. Yeah. I said we do the work to people, but it is for God. That's why we need to be saved when we usher. That's why we need to be saved when we greet people. That's why we need to be saved when we do the work of God. I want everything I do to be to the glory and the honor of my Lord. And on this annual Sunday, let me say we have work to do. God wants us to be missionary minded, but many times we're stationary. We have work to do. God wants us to go, and we cannot say go without saying God. And we cannot say God without saying good. And church family, it's good to go for the Lord. I must work the work of Him that sent me while it is day. When the night cometh, no man can work. Long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Yeah, when I'm on my mission, Lord, I need you to guide me. I need you to teach me how to watch, fight, and pray. I want everything I do to glorify you, Lord. I want everything I do to praise you, Lord. So whatever I put my hands to, I want it to glorify your holy name. Thank God that he is yet working on us. In the text, Paul paints these two pictures about the field and about the building. The text says, you are God's field. You are God's building. The field needs to be cultivated and the building needs to be constructed. Cultivating is a maturing process, and construction is a maturing process. Both of these examples Paul uses must be properly developed. And friends, if we're going to grow up in Christ, our lives have to be cultivated and our lives have to be constructed. Theologian Oswald Chambers said spiritual maturity is not reached by the passing of years, but by obedience to the will of the Lord. In other words, it's not your age, it's your stage. Hallelujah. How many of y'all know some old fools? I said, it's not your age, it is your stage. What stage are you in when it comes to your spiritual walk with Jesus? Have you measured your taste for ministry and your taste for maturity lately? That's why we need to be careful how we build. Yeah, the more mature we become in Christ, the more careful we'll be in the building of our lives. That's the biblical blueprint of maturity. But in heaven's hardware store, secondly, we need the biblical blueprint of motives. When we're on God's mission, what is your motive? Verse 10 says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. He said, I laid the foundation and no other builder builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Yeah, Paul is teaching, I've already laid with good motives the right foundation. He said, I already got a solid foundation. Paul says, only by the grace of God as a wise master builder that I laid the foundation. And Jesus Christ is the subtotal of the Christian church. There's no need for a new foundation. We don't need a new twist. We don't need a new idea. We don't need a new revelation. Jesus Christ is the right foundation. Oh yes, the stone which the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone. Jesus was born at the right time. Jesus lived at the right time. Jesus died at the right time. And Jesus is coming back at the right time. We don't need no new foundation. Just in case somebody's trying to apply for the job, let me bust your bubble. Jesus is the right foundation. On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In Matthew, Jesus is king. In Mark, Jesus is the suffering servant. In Luke, Jesus is the great physician. In John, Jesus is the Word made flesh. That's why we don't need a new foundation. Jesus is my foundation. Jesus is the rock that we ought to stand on. Jesus is our firm, fixed, fundamental foundation. Oh, but Paul gives us a warning here. Paul gives us some caution here. But let each one take heed how he builds. Be careful and don't be careless. Oh yeah, check your motives. Because bad motives and because bad building motives can leave you with long-term foundation problems. Oh, listen to me, friends. Fundamental foundations doesn't mean you have the right firm foundation. Oh, try to build your life on education. One day your mind will go bad. Try to build your life on a career, and one day they're going to ask you to retire. Try to build your life on money, and one day you'll realize your bank account has gone dry. Try to build your life on youthful exuberance, and one day you'll wake up and discover your youthfulness is fading away. But when you're built on Jesus, when you are built on Jesus, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, you are built to last. Hallelujah. I said you're built to last. I said you can stand the test of times. You can stand whatever goes your way. You can stand when you're built on Jesus. Two men stood in the line downtown to try to get some building permits. Pastor, they were both preparing to build themselves a new house. They started a conversation and discovered not only are we going to both build houses, but we're going to also be neighbors. They began the building project at the same time, but they went about their project two different ways. One man showed up with a hammer, nails, wood, and all the basic necessities, but the other man just showed up with a shovel and he started digging. The man with the equipment laid the foundation while the other man just kept on digging. The man with the equipment went up with his frame of the house, even started the roof of the house while the other man just kept on digging. The man was putting the finishing touches on his new house while the neighbor on the other side just digged himself a big hole. One day the man was digging this big hole and his wife showed up. She showed up with an attitude. She showed up with his lunch and said, "This is the last time I'm bringing you lunch. You got us embarrassed out here. They already have their house ready and all you're doing is digging. They had already gave us a envelope to their housewarming party and you just keep on digging." And she turned to walk away. Her husband hit something hard in the ground. He yelled and said, "Hold up, baby. I think I found what I'm looking for." Having found a firm foundation in the ground, he then began to build his house. And you know how life is. That first night in that new house, yes, a storm broke out. Yeah, rain started coming and flood started coming and the wind started blowing and he was asleep and his wife tried to wake him up and he said, "Hold up, baby. I have dug deep enough to sleep through the storm." Come here for a minute, church. Whenever you dig deep enough to sleep through the storm, whenever you're built on a firm foundation, you can stand in the test of times. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're dealing with. But when you're built on Jesus, I don't care what storm you face. I don't care what situation comes your way. You can stand because you're built on Jesus. Hallelujah. Or you're built on Jesus. We saw the biblical blueprint of maturity. We saw the biblical blueprint of motives. But let's continue in heaven's hardware store. Because thirdly, we need the biblical blueprint of materials. Right. Now, verse 12 says, "If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear." Oh, Lord, using the right material will cost you something. Yeah, our text tells us about the costly material and the cheap material. In heaven's hardware store, we first lay eyes on the costly. Gold, silver, and precious stone. That's some costly material. But if we're not willing to pay the expensive price, we have to pass the costly material and purchase the cheap material, wood, hay, and stubble. It's like going to H-E-B, and you know H-E-B has their brand called the Hill Country Fair. Yeah, it's like going to Walmart and getting the great value. You got a pass to get to the great value. You got a pass to get to the Hill Country Fair. But dear friends, let me tell you, your spiritual substance don't go on sale. Oh, we all try to find a good discount. We all like to find a good sale. But can I tell you, your spiritual life does not go on discount, and your spiritual life does not go on sale. Oh, yes, we must not settle for discounted devotions. We must not settle for pressure cooker prayer lives and snippet sermons that don't cost us nothing. Oh, don't build your spiritual life on a budget. I said, don't build your spiritual life on a budget. In fact, we need to break the budget. We need to be able to break the budget. Yeah, when you're on your mission, break the budget. When you're doing the work of the Lord, break the budget. Break the budget in your service. I said, break the budget in your sacrifice. Break the budget in your devotion to the Lord. We have to be careful with the materials we use. Wood, hay, and straw will burn in the fire. But gold, silver, and precious stone has been tried by the fire. Now everyone knows when you're talking about a building project, you also got to talk about some financing. How are we going to secure financing for the building project? Right. But let me tell you, don't worry, my dears. I have some good news for you this evening. Yeah, I have some good news because our God is rich. I said our God is rich in houses and in land. The Bible says, for you know the grace of God. Our God is not a stingy God. You know the grace of God. Our God is not a cheap God. You know the grace of God of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he's rich. I said he's rich. But for your sake, he became poor. Yeah, that through his poverty, you and I might be rich. Church family, we have everything we need to break the budget. I don't know about you, but I want to serve the Lord for the rest of my life. I don't know about you, but I want to give God all that I have for his glory and for his honor. The late preacher Manuel Scott said we cannot afford to be poor spiritually. When God gave up all so we can have all, we cannot afford to be poor spiritually. And when we lock arms with Jesus, thank God our finance is secure. When we lock arms with Jesus, we can build, yes sir, for the glory of the Lord. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but I'm so glad he washed me. I said, I'm so glad he washed me. Any blood washed believers here, I'm so glad he washed me. He washed me white as snow. When you look at me, I'm not who I used to be. When you look at me, I'm not who I ought to be. But I'm so glad I'm washed, washed and made new, washed in his blood. Well, one day, this older gentleman was working so hard. He was doing some stone work on this amazing, huge, large church. This young man was watching him chisel these pieces of stone. And the young man asked him in curiosity, sir, what are you doing? The workman said, you see that little opening up there near that pinnacle? Well, I'm shaping this down here so it can fit up there. And Christian family, the reason we cannot settle for discounted and cheap material is because God is shaping us down here so we can fit up there. Oh, I'm glad God is working on me. He that has begun a good work on me shall complete it unto the day of redemption. Aren't you glad God is working on you? Aren't you glad God is molding you? Aren't you glad God is shaping you? I'm working on the building. It's a true foundation. I'm holding up the bloodstained banner for my Lord. Just as soon as I get through working on the building, I'm going up yonder to get my reward. I'm so glad he's working on me. I'm so glad he's making me new, and I'm so glad he's making me whole. Well, it's time to get out of here. We talked about the right maturity. We talked about the right motives. We talked about the right material. Because there's going one day to be a divine inspection. Be careful how you build. Be careful what you purchase at heaven's hardware store. Because there's one day going to be a divine inspection. Verse 13 tells us about a meeting that none of us can miss. Each one's work will become clear. For the day of the Lord will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. This is what you call final inspection. Everyone who has built a house, who has built a project, you gotta have a final inspection. The final inspection will make everyone's work clear. All of our work will be crystal clear with clarity. The Bible says the day will declare it. This is talking about judgment day. And you know judgment day for the believer is different for judgment day for the lost sinner. For every Christian will have a meeting at the Bema Seat judgment. And God will do a divine inspection for all of our works. Your soul might be fireproof, but are your works fireproof? Paul says our works will be tested by the fire of what sort it is. If you do a lot of wrong sort of works, it's as if you're doing nothing at all. For the day, the Bible says, of the Lord will declare it. Let us continue to do a great work for the Lord. Let us continue to do all we can that God is pleased and God is glorified. Let us continue to usher to the best of your ability. Let us continue to greet everybody with a smile. Let us continue to serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing and know he is God. You need to know it's God who has made you. And it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Thank God we are his people. He did not have to make us his people. But thank God we are his people. And the sheep of his pastors. And so every time I get a chance, I'ma come before his presence with singing. I'ma come before his presence with gladness in my heart. Because I know the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Don't you know the Lord is good? The Lord is good. He's so good, he woke you up this morning. He's so good, he started you on this way. He's so good, he allowed us to have another day to praise his name. And then I'm going to be careful how I build because I want the Lord to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, but come on up. I'll make you ruler over many. And so serve the Lord with all of your heart. Serve the Lord that he's glorified. Serve the Lord that he's praised. Serve God with all of your heart. And then serving the Lord will pay. pay off. I said it'll pay off after a while. It'll pay off after a while. Jesus, he came to serve you and me. He came to serve because they died. He came to serve because they stretched him high. They hung him high and they stretched him wide. But that's not the end of the story. He died. Didn't he die? He died that you and I might have the right to the tree of life. He died on Friday. They buried him, but early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. Power to save you. Power to change you. Power to rearrange you. Power to make you whole. I'ma keep on doing the best I can. I'ma keep on loving my neighbors. I'ma keep on doing the best I can. And when you're done doing the best you can, he gonna call you up and say, well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Keep on building that God is praised, that God is glorified, and God is magnified. God bless you.
Amen. What a word. What a word. What a word. Amen. Be careful. Be careful how you build. At this time, we want to extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. There may be someone here. As the ushers come, we invite you. The deacons come, we invite you. Will you come? You can come by letter of Christian experience, candidate for baptism. Today. Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We do thank Dr. Reese for a powerful word. Amen.